we were just talking about how Gen Z don't like to answer their phone calls anymore because they just feel like, you know, it's basically quicksand. They're not going to have enough time to respond appropriately. A lot of us who are trying to deal with the technological world feel the same way when it comes to scams, how quickly they evolve, who is texting me right now, is this on the up and up? And a lot of the times they are looking for personal information so they can access your bank accounts. Now, there is a story that the CBC dove into, and it is about the fact that 140 Bank of Montreal customers say that they've lost $1.5 million in transfer frauds. And they are planning a class action lawsuit against BMO for not protecting them adequately enough. There's one couple who say that someone accessed their Bank of Montreal account without authorization in late 2022, withdrew more than $63,000 in a series of transfers that the bank won't reimburse. And the bank told the CBC, well, it's not going to compensate them because it appears that the transfers were done on their device and there were no failed login attempts with the account and a malware scan of the computer didn't show any irregularities. So the bank, how are they to know there's something weird going on? Now, the clients who, you know, are out $63,000 don't really care because their argument is BMO should be securing our money any way, shape, or form that they can, because they know that cybercrime is becoming more sophisticated. So if it happened to them, it could probably happen to all of us. David Shipley is a cybersecurity expert and CEO of Beauceron Security, joins the Kelly Cotrera Show to talk about it. David, at the end of the day, we've been pushed this way to online banking by the banks themselves. They don't want us really going in person. They'd like us to do everything online. It's more convenient for them, and they still make a lot of money through it. Are we just sitting ducks?
It's not a good time out there right now. Fraud losses are going through the roof, and cyber criminals are realizing that they're getting a lot of heat for these big attacks on governments, corporations, healthcare, and more for these ransomware payments. But if they swamp the field, if they go for lower dollar amounts, $63,000 in this case, versus going for $6.3 million, they overwhelm policing resources. They don't get nearly the attention, and they're pouring into it like no tomorrow. And we're seeing all kinds of bad things happening. And it's a perfect storm for both the consumers and the banks because, you know, from the banking perspective, a lot of this fraud is happening when people give up their credentials or passwords to fairly sophisticated scams. But they've told them, listen, we're not responsible if you give up the keys to your kingdom. But at the same time, you got to feel for the consumers who say, I was defrauded. I was tricked. You could have done more to have prevented this. And I think what we're missing in this entire conversation is where Canada's banking regulators at. And what does the standard need to be for banks to prove they've educated their customers if they're not going to reimburse them? And what are the options banks should be giving customers to lock down their accounts even further if they're super paranoid like I am?
Yeah, I'm with you on the paranoia. I just think anything can happen to anyone, and we have so much information out there. A lot of the times we don't even know what information is leaked out to the dark web that, you know, could be used by bad actors. BMO says that customers can sign up for alerts which warn them if a system suspects unusual activity. Is that enough?
Well, it's not enough. And listen, if you're not signed up to banking alerts right now, stop what you're doing. Unless you're driving right now. But if stop what you're doing, get signed up to your bank's alerts. You are your first, best, and sometimes in these cases, the pain you're seeing and hearing about, last line of defense against this sophisticated fraud. So turn on the alerts.
How do you do that?
So it depends on your banking app and your banking service, but all of them have different alerting options that you can turn on for different things. If your bank doesn't offer it, demand it. And this is where the regulator may need to step in. But even some tiny banks that we work with in the United States have this today, where every single time your debit or credit card is used, you get a little notification on your phone. And that's huge. What I think should be required, particularly for folks who are paranoid, but also folks who are very vulnerable, I want to be able to walk into my bank and say, here's my agreement with you. Here's the amount that I consider material, i.e., if I lost this amount and you didn't reimburse me because I got defrauded, this could potentially ruin me. And you are not to execute electronic transactions above this threshold. So if my tolerance for risk is $1,000, that's the most that should be taken out of a transaction unless my butt shows up in that bank branch.
That seems like a
Because
very easy fix, David.
it is not a hard fix. But to your point, this is going to require them to reopen branches. That's not a bad thing. That actually, resiliency doesn't always have to come in the form of some super sophisticated, yet another technological silver bullet.
Right.
Giving people the choice to say, you know what? You can't force me to do digital banking unless you're going to absolutely guarantee my safety. And if you're saying that this is a shared responsibility and I could get defrauded and it's on me, then I refuse to play the game. I'm going back to the branch.
Do you think this the 140 BMO customers that say they collectively lost about $1.5 million because the bank didn't appropriately keep their money in a secure fashion and did not pretty much open the door to e-transfers of their money and being defrauded. Do you think this potential lawsuit could have the potential to actually influence change within the banking sector?
I think it's a shot across the bow. I think we've started to see the banks become frustrated that people get scammed and aren't doing some of the things that they do provide information on their websites, in their branches, et cetera. You got to give them credit for that. And they're saying enough is enough. We're not going to absorb losses due to your negligence on the behalf of our shareholders. Fine, that's a business decision. And I think everyday people are starting to react and say, whoa, 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 this is not fair to us either. So I think we need a better balance, but I don't think this one lawsuit's going to do it. It's a canary in the coal mine. What we're seeing in the States is interesting. So that Attorney General in New York that's trying to clean Trump's clock, she recently launched a lawsuit against Citibank for a very similar sort of ac series of accusations that they aren't doing enough to protect their customers from fraud, phishing, et cetera. So the noise is starting to generate. Now, this is where I would turn to the Office of the Federal Super the Office of the Superintendent of Financial Institution, known as OFSFI, and say, hey, what are you going to do to require banks prove that they've educated their customers? What are you going to do to require the banks to give folks more control for their own safety if you're going to let them say, this is on you?
Well, David, I think that the plaintiffs are right in this case. The bank should take a bigger role in providing security for their customers. But until they do, once again, let's run through the list of very quickly things you think we need to do to keep our money safe online.
So number one, if your bank has multi-factor authentication, so mine, every time I log in, every single time I log in from any device other than my smartphone, I have to authenticate and tap on that smartphone and say, yes, allow me in. Turn that on. So if your bank doesn't have that and just has the text message one, turn it on and go back to your bank and say, step it up because text messages can get hijacked. But it's better than nothing. So turn on multi-factor authentication. If they have those little tokens that you can get in the mail and it has a rotating number every minute,
Love that.
great, use that. So that's step one. Step two, as we talked about earlier, if your banking mobile app allows you to turn on notifications on a per transaction level, turn it on. And if your bank doesn't have that, demand it. Because again, I work with these super cool community banks in the United States, and these are mom and pop banks, and they have these features. So the big banks can do it too. So let's do that. And then three, demand if your bank allows you to set limits on transactions that can happen electronically. Think about what your risk and loss appetite is, and start locking the stuff down. Is there a way to turn off interact e-transfers? I don't want it. I do. Maybe that's not something that's in your risk tolerance, where you say, listen, no more than $100 can go out in an interact e-transfer. As a one-off thing, and no more than $1,000 in a day. And again, if you've got those notifications turned on, then you're balancing convenience with tools in your hands. Other than that, know that falling victim to fraud is not because you're unintelligent. It's because the criminals are really good at emotionally manipulating you. And if you are a victim of fraud, tell someone as quickly as possible because your best chance of getting your money back is in those first few hours.
Don't I know it? David Shipley, thank you very much for joining us. Always a pleasure having you on, and a lot of great information there.
You're very welcome. Take care and stay safe.
Cheers. David Shipley, cybersecurity expert and CEO of Bosron Security.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.